Tonight on the Worldview Report, revelations about the federal government controlling what gets reported as so-called news, leading up to an important election dismissed as old news by the Biden White House, which sounds like a tacit admission that it is true. Colorado continues to be the epicenter of anti-Christian bigotry, as we now have a cause being heard at the Supreme Court that could affect the religious freedom of every Christian in America. Ron DeSantis says he's ready to hold the vaccine manufacturers responsible for their products, which continue to kill and injure Americans at an alarming rate. Anti-Semitism is sadly on the rise in America, and especially in New York City. And gun grabbing is not just fashionable among American liberals. It's going on in Canada, Australia, and now France, as the globalists pledge to disarm every country in the formerly free world. And you won't believe what the husband of Arizona's corrupt Secretary of State and soon-to-be Governor Katie Hobbs does for a living. Some say he's destroying the lives of children for a profit. All these stories and more as the Worldview Report begins right now.
This is Worldview Report with host Brennan House. Whether it is news from the nation's capital or your state capital, from the classroom to the boardroom, from national security to national and local news that impacts you and your family, Worldview Report is your trusted source for vital and uncensored news. And now, here is Brennan House.
Good evening and welcome to the Worldview Report. During an interview with the Fox News Rundown podcast released on Monday, Representative Daryl Issa, Republican from California, criticized the mainstream media for being willing to accept claims that the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian misinformation. And now, wanting to treat new revelations on Twitter's handling of the story as an old story. Issa argued that the Twitter files are extremely important because if you can, quote, kill anything you don't like, then why are we any different than China, Russia, or Iran, end quote. Issa stated, quote, the one thing that we see with the mainstream media is they want to treat it as old news rather than covered up reporting. I mean, the fact is the mainstream media was very willing to accept this as Russian misinformation or any other excuse to not report it, and now that we've discovered that it was intentionally stifled by, quite frankly, the Department of Justice in concert with social media, they don't want to cover that story. But that's the largest story of our time. If you can eliminate the reporting of valid news, or, for that matter, kill anything you don't like, then why are we any different than China, Russia, or Iran? End quote. Well, his question drives to the heart of the matter. And it's amusing to watch the mainstream media scatter like disturbed cockroaches when faced with that question. The suspect accused of opening fire last month in a gay nightclub in Colorado, killing 5 people and wounding 17, was charged December 5th with 305 criminal counts, including for murder and hate crimes. Prosecutors have said they were unsure whether there was enough evidence to show that Anderson Lee Aldrich, a 22-year-old who identifies as non-binary and uses they-them pronouns, according to court documents, was motivated by bias when allegedly carrying out the attack in Colorado Springs. That's what the Associated Press is reporting. District Attorney Michael Allen said the murder charges have the harshest penalty, but the public needs to know that bias-motivated crimes are not tolerated, even if there is not enough evidence to support the counts. Aldrich has not entered a plea after allegedly using a rifle to shoot people at Club Q during a drag queen event on November 19th. 2 people confronted Aldrich at the scene and stopped the shooting until police arrived. Website designers in Colorado can express their disdain for same-sex marriage. They just can't refuse to design wedding websites for gay couples if they design for heterosexuals. This argument by Colorado Solicitor General Eric Olson perplexed some Supreme Court justices during a hearing for a First Amendment challenge to the state's public accommodations law, the subject of a previous Supreme Court decision on creative expression and same-sex marriage. Like Masterpiece Cake Shop's Jack Phillips before her, website designer Lori Smith, owner of 303 Creative, objects to participating in gay weddings based on her Christian faith. Colorado courts ordered Phillips to make custom same-sex wedding cakes so long as he designed cakes for heterosexual weddings. He stopped making wedding cakes altogether. While the Supreme Court reversed the Colorado Civil Rights Commission's findings against Phillips on account of its hostility to his religious beliefs, it didn't rule on the Colorado Anti-Discrimination Act itself. Phillips is now appealing another Colorado court loss for refusing to design a gender transition cake. The Denver-based 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled the state could force Lori Smith to design websites for gay nuptials. In a display of its bias, the Colorado Civil Rights Commission dismissed a complaint against a bakery for refusing to make a cake with, quote, "homosexuality is a detestable sin," end quote. That was what was going to be written on it. According to Smith's successful petition for Supreme Court review by the Alliance Defending Freedom, quote, "in this toxic legal climate, nearly anyone involved with religious ceremonies faces realistic threats of prosecution for speaking consistently with their religious faith under laws that impose jail time and up to $100,000 in fines," end quote. Atlanta Hawks baseball announcer Bob Rathbun suffered a medical emergency during a live broadcast Monday night, December 5th, while he was discussing the game with color commentator and former Hawks star Dominique Wilkins. Here's the disturbing video.
Wow. That's pretty amazing, and you said it right. Poise for a kid this young, 19 years old, come out on the floor each and every night, and he feels like he's belonged. So I look for this kid to have a really good first half of the season. Wow.
The Hawks said in a statement to the New York Post that the 68-year-old Rathbun simply had a bout with dehydration. The statement said, quote, "prior to tonight's game against the Oklahoma City Thunder, play-by-play announcer Bob Rathbun briefly lost consciousness on the court. Emergency medical professionals on site quickly treated Rathbun for dehydration. He is stable, responsive, and heading to Emory Midtown for further evaluation," end quote. Rathbun is very likely vaxxed in compliance with NBA guidelines, but we should point out that we don't know for certain if that is the case. What we do know is that people over the last 2 years are having these falling over incidents, live on camera in many cases, and numbers, well, never seen before, never heard of before. And still, nobody in the mainstream media asks anything probing about all of these things that are occurring. Meanwhile, at a private event over the weekend on December 3rd, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said his administration intends to hold vaccine manufacturers accountable for making false claims about their COVID products, claims that have caused injuries and death. DeSantis said he would be working with Florida Surgeon General Joseph LaLapo, which, by the way, he's been in our studio right here in the Mid-South as I produced the America's Frontline Doctors presentations that they did a year ago this past June. A real gentleman. Glad to see that he became the Surgeon General in Florida. So Governor DeSantis said, quote, "to hold these manufacturers accountable for this mRNA shot because they said there were no side effects and we know that there have been a lot," end quote. DeSantis told the GOP executive committee members at the event, quote, "we did a study in Florida and we saw an 86% increase in cardiac-related activity in people ages 18 to 39 from mRNA shots. And so we're going to be doing some stuff to bring accountability there," end quote. Vaccines administered under emergency use authorization are protected from legal liability, but not if they were fraudulently produced. American Greatness reports that Brooke Jackson, a whistleblower who worked for Ventiva Research Group, The company that conducted Pfizer's pivotal Phase 3 trial in Texas in 2020 has filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court accusing Pfizer of committing fraud, abuse, and protocol violations in its COVID vaccine clinical trials. For the past year, equity investment executive and former BlackRock manager Ed Dowd has been compiling evidence from the insurance industry, funeral home industry, and government databases. And it shows that excessive deaths among the working age Americans increased drastically in 2021 over 2020. In his new book entitled Cause Unknown, Dowd demonstrates that non-COVID deaths among people aged 18 to 64 have exploded. During a recent appearance on Ask Dr. Drew, Dow argued that the employed population in the United States, 98 to 100 million people, is experiencing about a 25% increase in disabilities compared to the general population. Dow said, quote, something is going on with our workforce, end quote, adding that the corporate media, well, they refuse to address what looks like a, quote, huge problem, end quote. DeSantis, he signed legislation in November of 2021 banning vaccine mandates in schools and businesses to protect employees who didn't want to take the experimental shots. Quote, we wouldn't let them mandate on you in Florida, DeSantis said, pointing out that unfortunately, most states did not protect workers from vaccine mandates. So many Americans who took the experimental injections under threat of losing their jobs suffered debilitating injuries. Take a listen to DeSantis laying out his agenda and promising more hardball against the globalist and leftists.
And how they marginalized people that were speaking the truth on COVID was really, really damaging. And it ended up killing people because people would tell the truth and they would get deplatformed on Twitter. We're also going to be doing some stuff because I have a Surgeon General in Florida, Dr. Yeah. Joseph Latipo, who's been really, really strong of just fighting back against the narrative and the phony things that people are trying to do and focus on the evidence. And so, you know, we are going to work to hold these manufacturers accountable for this mRNA because they said there was no side effects, and we know that there have been a lot. And so we did a study in Florida and you saw an 86% increase in cardiac related activity from people 18 to 39 from mRNA shots. And so we're going to be doing some stuff to bring accountability there, because I think it's just something where we wouldn't let them mandate on you in Florida. You know, we said, you know, no, because like Orange County wanted to fire firefighters, Gainesville wanted to fire people, but even the corporations like Disney wanted to fire. So we said no across the board. So everybody had the ability to opt out of anything they were trying to impose on you. But there are other people around the country that got forced to take this. And then what? They're not allowed to sue or get any type of recourse when this is not something that they wanted to do. So this is something that we're going to lead on in Florida. So we're going to have probably some announcements over the next 3 or 4 weeks on that. But we're happy. Think about all the grief I took when we did things like ban vaccine passports. You know, we fought the cruise lines and we won in court after like a year and a half to say no discrimination on the basis of vax mandates or vax status. And so there, now everyone says it was the right thing. Same thing with the employer mandates. We said we're not going to allow that. You know, we got a lot of grief for doing that, but it was the right thing to do. And so, you know, we've always gotten in front of these things, so we're going to continue to do that going forward. And
we'll be right back after this break.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to announce my original My Slippers are back in stock. Last Christmas, you made them the number one selling MyPillow product, and now I've added smaller sizes, larger sizes, wide sizes, and all new colors. And with your promo code, you still save $90 a pair. What makes My Slippers different is my exclusive four-layer design that you're not going to find in any other slippers. My Slippers' patented layers make them ultra comfortable, extremely durable, and they help relieve stress on your feet. Wear them anytime, anywhere. You'll absolutely love My Slippers, and I'm extending my 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2023, making them the best Christmas gifts ever. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen now. Use your promo code to save $90 on my original My Slippers. That's only $49.98 a pair. Quantities won't last long, so please order now.
Mike Lindell was recently asked in an interview with John Fredericks to lay out his vision for the Republican National Committee if he were elected chairman. Here's how Lindell responded.
Let's talk about this. What is your vision? Outline, I got, 3 minutes here. Outline, what is your vision as chair of the Republican National Committee?
Well, immediately, this wouldn't be a long-term thing. Immediately, I would check out the lawyers that are there and probably fire them all. That'd be the first thing. Get all new lawyers in and all new legal advice because they don't know what they're doing, and that's a fact. They have not looked at our current footprint. I've spent tens of million dollars on lawyers and people to investigate our election systems. They need to be fixed. We need to get behind. They need to spend their money from their donors to, you know, to make sure that these our election systems are fixed so that when they do get behind the candidates and they do and these processes and they're going out and their ground game and all this stuff, that that money is spent to the best it can be spent.
Fire the lawyers. That seems like a great start indeed, don't you think? Breitbart reports that French gun owners are surrendering their weapons in record numbers at police collection stations across the country as a roundup of unlicensed firearms winds down. France is cracking down on unregistered firearms, estimated at up to 6 million. And the Macron government is offering amnesty for people to turn them in. Rifles, handguns, ammunition, even knives and grenades have been handed in at 300, collection points across the country since the start of the Ministry of Interior's campaign on November 25th. By Wednesday, Reuters reports 65,000 firearms of all types have been turned in, along with 1.6 million bullets. Police Commandant Florence Gavello said at the collection point in Nice, quote, "This campaign is here to help French people surrender these objects that are rather cumbersome for most," end quote. Other authorities share their optimism for a national disarmament in keeping with other efforts in countries as far away as Australia to take weapons away from law-abiding citizens. Jean-Simon Merdant, head of the Interior Minister's Central Service for Arms and Explosives, said, quote, "We believe there are about 5 or 6 million weapons that are being kept in an irregular manner by our fellow citizens. 80 to 90% of these weapons are in their possession due to an inheritance. When we talk to them, they're quite happy about getting rid of them," end quote. Nothing like disarming a population, particularly coming from the Emmanuel Macron administration, the very man that recently said, "We need a single global world order," which means a single global world tyranny system. How are you going to get people to go along with that in the Great Reset unless you disarm them first, right? The husband of Arizona governor-elect Katie Hobbs was set to testify on behalf of a 10-year-old boy seeking to force the state to change his birth certificate sex marker from male to female. LifeSite News reports that Hobbs' husband, Patrick Goodman, is listed as a therapist involved in Phoenix Children's Hospital's gender support program, which provides, quote, "evaluations for puberty suppression and cross-sex hormone therapy by mental health providers," end quote, for so-called gender-diverse and transgendered youth. According to a filing for a lawsuit on behalf of three children that sought to compel the state of Arizona to change their birth certificates so that their listed sex reflected their self-identification rather than their biology, Goodman was to testify on behalf of his patient, quote, Jane Doe, end quote, one of the three plaintiffs. The lawsuit filed in November 2020 stated that Goodman, quote, is expected to testify regarding his mental health treatment of Jane Doe's gender dysphoria and opinion regarding Jane's health and well-being, absent injunctive relief, end quote. The filing argued that keeping the children's birth certificates unchanged forced them to, quote, disclose their transgender status, end quote, which it said, quote, causes plaintiffs significant emotional harm and puts them at risk of discrimination harassment, and violence, end quote. So-called Jane Doe, in particular, began, quote, expressing, end quote, himself as a girl at, quote, 2.5 years old, end quote, according to court documents, quote, gravitating, end quote, toward girls' toys and clothing. His parents brought him to a child psychologist who advised that the boy be treated like a girl by his parents and family. Hobbs's challenger, Republican Carrie Lake, has slammed her for, quote, pushing things like gender affirmation surgery, which is a nice way of saying mutilating our children, end quote. Upon discovering Goodman's role in children's gender transitions, Lake declared, quote, her husband's making money brainwashing our children into thinking they can be a different gender than they were born. It is sick. It is twisted, end quote. An executive from the sex education branch of the abortion mill Planned Parenthood believes people are, quote, sexual, end quote, from birth, and that children should be indoctrinated with so-called porn literacy as part of their sex education. On Friday, Fox News Digital published an article outlining its findings on Bill Tavernier, executive director of the organization Center for Sex Education in New Jersey. According to its report, Tavernier has held these views for years. He's quoted as saying in 2015, quote, we have in our society an assumption of asexuality of people with intellectual disabilities. It's a myth that's perpetrated, and really, we are all sexual beings from birth until death, end quote. Roughly 3 years earlier, he expressed his support that, quote, children of a certain age should be taught about pornography in sex education, end quote. Quote, Tavernier appeared to say during the 2012 interview that some of erotica was useful. That's what the article states. Quote, I think that there's this yearning for information that young people have that hasn't changed, end quote. He's quoted as saying, quote, I think that the internet is a major influence on how people learn about sexuality. There's access to erotica, pornography. That was very different from young people 30 years ago. It's certainly not as accessible, certainly not as instantaneous. So, there's a lot of information that is useful, end quote. The executive also promoted certain aspects of sex education to be taught to children as young as 5 years old. Now, do you guys realize where this comes from? This is the worldview of Alfred Kinsey, who I write about in my best-selling book, Grave Influence, subtitled 21 Radicals Ruling America from the Grave. And Alfred Kinsey, who wrote Sexuality of the Human Male in 1948, and then went on to write Sexuality of the Human Female, wrote that children should be sexually active by age 6. So now you understand the genesis of this worldview. The New York Police Department on Monday reported 45 anti-Semitic hate crimes in the city last month, amid fears of rising Jew hatred across the U.S. The Times of Israel reports that the tally for November amounts to an anti-Semitic hate crime in the 5 bureaus every 16 hours, on average. Jewish security groups have said that many attacks likely go unreported. Anti-Jewish attacks made up 60% of all hate crimes in the city last month. The figure for November represented a 125% increase over the same period last year. Every month, except April and May of this year, well, they have seen an increase over the same month in 2021. Overall, crime is up in New York City compared to last year, although murders and shootings have decreased. The NYPD has confirmed 195 anti-Jewish hate crimes between January 1st and September 30th, far more than against any other group. Jews are consistently targeted more than other minorities in the city in both absolute and per capita terms. The incidents range from assault to verbal harassment, property damage, and anti-Semitic graffiti. In the most high-profile incident last month, two men were arrested after threatening to, quote, shoot up a synagogue, end quote. Police seized weapons and a Nazi armband from the suspects and have increased security at synagogues in response. In some of the other incidents, a vandal sprayed Free Palestine onto the side of a Shabbat movement outreach vehicle. A man threw rocks at a Jewish school. Four suspects assaulted a Jewish man on a Brooklyn street. And attackers shot at a Hasidic woman and her son with a gel pellet gun. The rise in hate crimes in New York corresponds with nationwide trends. The Anti-Defamation League recorded 2,717 anti-Semitic incidents across the country last year, a 34% increase from the previous year, the highest since it began tracking in 1979. Some of the increase is said to be due to different and improved reporting methods. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back. Now, time for our nightly Worldview Report commentary. In a National Terrorism Advisory System bulletin issued on Wednesday, the Department of Homeland Security announced that the, quote, United States remains in a heightened threat environment, end quote. Robert Spencer reports in a new article that according to DHS, it seems, quote, lone offenders and small groups motivated by a range of ideological beliefs and or personal grievances continue to pose a persistent and lethal threat to the homeland. Yet, while the DHS claims to be tracking terror threats from people with a, quote, range of ideological beliefs, end quote, it is especially concerned, quote, threat actors could exploit several upcoming events to justify or commit acts of violence, including certifications related to the midterm elections, end quote, the making of 2 years since the breach of the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, end quote. The message is clear, says Spencer. DHS is going to devote its resources to the alleged terror threat coming from those who dissent from the leftist establishment line. Meanwhile, he notes that the agency plans to release Afghan Muslim criminals into the United States. This administration's priorities are, of course, distorted. Distorted by its own perverse ideological bent to the extent that it is incapable of blindly administering justice. Everything to them is political. But folks, that's how dictatorships run. Spencer writes that DHS warned us that, quote, targets of potential violence, end quote, include, quote, the LGBTQ plus community, end quote, and, quote, racial and religious minorities, end quote, as well as, quote, government facilities and personnel, end quote, and, quote, perceived ideological opponents, end quote. What we have is a far-left regime self-conscious about its own legitimacy that is clearly, they are clearly paranoid and fearful of a population that might uprise against their unauthorized, illegal, unconstitutional tyranny on the American people. There would be no reason for the U.S. government to be that distressed to the point of making repeated warnings of violence that never materialize if it did not harbor, I think, guilty feelings about its own legitimacy. Well, that does it for this edition of the Worldview Report. Thanks, as always, for tuning in and for supporting this broadcast. You can do that the following ways. One, please do the bulk of your Christmas shopping, won't you, at MyPillow.com and use that promo code B66. Only then will we get credit. If you use any other promo code, we don't get credit. So please, use the promo code B66. You get savings, we get credit, which is what helps fund this broadcast. Remember, there's a team of about seven of us that spend 15 man hours a day putting it all together, 5 days a week. So if you want to get some great gifts for yourself, your family, your friends, MyPillow.com is the place to go. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, scarves, hats, socks, so much more. MyPillow.com, promo code B66. MyStore.com, the home for American entrepreneurs, started by Mike Lindell. Again, use that promo code B66. Don't forget about the WVW Foundation, please, in your end-of-the-year giving. The foundation exists to proclaim the truth of a biblical worldview, to use my radio shows and TV shows to do just that, help people understand the times through the lens of a Christian biblical worldview. We put our programs out there for everybody to watch free of charge. We don't put them behind a paywall. We put them out there where you can see them because, again, we want to educate people. And some people, they can never afford to do anything to help us, support us financially, buy a book, buy a DVD, attend a conference, or anything. But we don't want them left out. We want everyone to hear the truth. And that's where the WVW Foundation comes in. It helps us put out content free of charge as a ministry, And that's what we're doing. So if you appreciate that fact, including the fact we hold a church service every Sunday night online at 8 p.m. Central Time at wvwtv.com/live. Every Sunday night since 2015 at wvwtv.com/live. If you appreciate all that, please don't forget about wvwfoundation.com in your end of the year giving. wvwfoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there on the website if you prefer to support us through the mail. And you can also make a contribution over the phone by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Also, you'll find emergency supplies available on my website, wvwtvstore.com, wvwtvstore.com. Well, till next time, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. May God save America. Take care.